Today's podcast is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions, founded by industry leader Lauren Jones, with the intent of supporting businesses and adding clarity to the steps required to digitally transform with excellence. Lauren is a vocal advocate for elevating women in our industry, including hashtag days like Women Crush Wednesday, and we are proud to feature her company today. Learn more about Lauren and her services at leapconsultingsolutions.com. On this episode of The Edge, K4 COO Kai Mitchell joins ClearEdge Marketing CEO and founder Leslie Vickery to talk about why her organization has shifted their employee performance focus from activity to results, the role you're irreplaceable in, and why it's important to know the difference between what you can do versus what you can do well. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I would love to welcome you to the Edge podcast, where my guest with us here today is Kai Mitchell. She is currently the COO for K-Force, where she's spent nearly the past 17 plus years. Welcome, Kai.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Well, let's start, Kai, with your career journey. I'd love to hear how you got your start in staffing and what has kept you at K-Force for so many years.
Well, I actually started in staffing when I was 21 years old. I was a liberal arts grad out of Penn State in the middle of a recession, and there just were not a lot of opportunities out there. And so I did several interviews and ended up meeting Don Harvey, who I will mention probably later, but he's had a huge impact in my career. And I will never forget telling my dad, I was living with him right out of school, that I feel like if I can sell this, I can sell anything. So I really want to take this job over the big name companies he wanted me to go to work for. And he was very supportive. So that was how I got into the business. And I loved it. I mean, I went through times where I did question things and, you know, it's not all been rolling meadows and flowers, but it has been a great career. And I really think, especially for women, what I always loved about it is you get out of it what you put into it. And so there's no ceilings or limitations.
That is very true. I would agree with you completely. It is obviously something we're working on as an industry. Very fortunate that you have that mindset. It's good to hear, and hopefully others will follow suit. Obviously, in the past couple of years, we've gone through some changes, and looking ahead, when you think of technology and talent, I really think for you all at K-Force, I think of it for ClearEdge and the industries we focus on with talent and technology, there's no better place to be when you're working with people. With that, Kai, I'm curious, what excites you most about the industry?
I really do love this industry, and I think the technology focus for me has just been a huge blessing over the years. When I look back on my career, I don't think there's any other business I can think of where you have a front row seat to Fortune 500 companies, seeing how they're thinking about strategy, how they're thinking about technology, how they're thinking about digital. You get to see all of that firsthand and how it's evolved over the years. And so I really believe that this business gives you an education and experience unlike anything else I know of. And so I'm so excited to continue down that path. I think as we're looking at it now for K-Force, we just came off a quarter where we grew 30% in our tech business, almost 30%. It was like 28.9, I think, but almost 30% growth year over year. And that was coming off a strong performance in 2020 as well, where a lot of our competitors didn't grow. We were fortunate and grew. So to come in with that type of performance in this environment, it just shows what the opportunity is out there for technology, staffing, technology consulting, technology solutions. And I think it's a great area. It's ever evolving, ever changing. Clients challenging us how to bring more value, how to get more strategic and consultative in what we're doing for them. And so I've never been so excited for the future. I just think it's just one of the greatest places we can be.
It is an incredible time in our industry just to see the growth, and congratulations to you and K-Force on experiencing that growth. Obviously, we have to deliver for our clients and our teams and the candidates we service and make sure everyone's taken care of to see that kind of record growth. Let's take a quick look, Kai, at turning adversity into advantage. And they say you can look at your past and see a line of mistakes, or you can look at your past and see all the adversity you've overcome. In fact, Einstein once said that adversity introduces you to yourself, which I have found this to be profoundly true, especially every time I've braved something new. As you look back at your career while on the rise, tell us about any stories of resilience in the face of adversity.
Well, one of the biggest that comes to mind for me is when I had my own company, Vista RMS, with Don Harvey. And Vista was rising fast. We were number two in Inc. magazine as fastest growing private company. We were doing great. My vertical I was focused on was telecommunications. We had taken that from zero to 44 million in 2 years. We were crushing it. And then dot-com crashed, and then 9/11 happened. And as quickly as we went up, we came back down. And if you remember back to that time, telecom got hit really tough in that, as well as many other companies. Here we were, a small private company, and we had over $2 million in unpaid receivables that were out there with companies who'd gone bankrupt. It was a very dark time. I think it really showed what we were made of. There were some people who cowered in fear and were, how do we move forward? We had a great ride. We should have sold on top. And then there were others who said, we need to double down. We need to look at this strategically. How do we handle it? And we were able to go back and look at, okay, here's the quals we have. Here's what we've done in the marketplace. How do we pivot and transform to succeed in this new environment where it felt like the world was falling apart around you? And so we took all of our commercial qualifications, we packaged it up, and we went to the government prime contractors. We were a DC-based firm, and we quickly pivoted and were able to go and help. At the time, TSA hadn't even existed, but we partnered with a couple of prime contractors on the first big TSA network initiative, where they were building out a network communications platform that would talk to allow all the airports to talk to each other. And that was our first big push. And then we started building out that federal practice. And then one of our clients who we had taken care of throughout that whole downturn came to us with an opportunity, and we built back up a brick at a time, but we built back up and we persevered. And we had people who couldn't do it step out of the way, give me the reins, and we're going to push forward in this. And so I was so proud of how we pivoted there. And then that ultimately was what led us to get bought by K-Force. We were able to recover. We built back up and ended up getting bought by K-Force. But it was a very difficult time. And I know there's entrepreneurs out there who get it. Our houses were covering payroll. We had personal loans to make sure we could pay our people and keep afloat during this very difficult time. But we were able to do it. We persevered. We looked straight ahead and said, where do we need to go? And we were able to pivot and be very successful.
Certainly a lot of companies in the past couple of years have had to pivot and make some changes. It's easy to look at you, Kai, and think, you know, COO of K-Force, really well-respected and known executive in the industry. I know this firsthand. I remember hosting a webinar with you, and in the chat, it blew up with people talking about how much they love working with you, side by side with you, and just such positive feedback. So it's really helpful to hear what you've gone through and the challenges you faced to get to where you are today. So thank you so much for sharing that story with us. And certainly those listening who may want to learn more could reach out to you. It's definitely a story worth learning from. And I'm really happy that you all stuck with it and pivoted and made it to where you are today. Otherwise, I would not have the pleasure of working with you.
I am too.
Well, as we look at the events of, gosh, the past couple of years, it's really turned workplaces upside down, and many feel like they're always on now that the boundaries between work and home have blurred. In fact, I think one of my last trips pre-COVID actually was down to Tampa and visiting some folks from your team. It's interesting now to kind of fast forward to that. People are worried about their family's health, their careers, and more. And the pandemic has really intensified the challenges that women already faced. And as a result of this, a recent study by McKinsey in partnership with Lean In found that women are 1.3 times more likely than men to have considered stepping back out of the workforce or slowing down their careers, particularly mothers or senior women and Black women. However, the global pandemic has also provided us with an opportunity to be more open and flexible and empathetic, to throw away the old rule book and rethink workplace norms, really what productivity even looks like, as an example. Kai, you almost left the workforce after selling your company and having your first child. You even turned down promotions. One could relate it to the challenges and struggles women are facing today. What did you learn from that experience that could perhaps help those struggling from similar decisions, struggling to do it all and see homeschool and caring for their family as a serious and almost necessary career change?
You know, it is a really difficult time right now for women in the workplace, but I think we've had those periods of time throughout my lifetime anyway. In reference to what the moment you're talking about, it wasn't so much that I had a plan to leave. But when I was having my daughter, my first baby, you don't know how that's going to change things. And we were selling the company. I actually went through some health issues at the time because of all the stress probably, and really wasn't sure how I was going to move forward. And I thought, well, I need to get my people through this integration. I need to make sure they're all okay. And then I'll step back and figure out what it is I'm going to do. And I did end up staying. You know, I loved the company. I loved the people I worked for. And I really wanted to be there and partner with them. But I did face challenges along the way. Both of my kids were born with congenital heart defects, and they both required surgery when they were 2 years old. And so that was a very challenging time for me as a working mother. And my son also had some additional health problems on top of that with a rare issue called EOE. And so I had a lot going on, juggling work, juggling home, juggling kids with health issues. And I did have to say no to certain things. And it wasn't always easy. You know, I remember my boss at the time saying, hey, we're doing a reorg. Let me put a map in front of me. What do you want to do? And I think he thought I'd say everything. And I really didn't. I was very strategic in what I thought I could take on. I said no to certain things. In fact, it's funny because at the time, again, I was in DC. I said no to Florida many, many times. And it was because I knew that if I was going to be the mom I needed to be and deal with the issues that my kids were having, but still be there for the people at work, I couldn't be all things to everyone. And I really needed to think about what can I commit to? What can I deliver on? I would rather do the best job I can with what I'm willing to do than to take a bunch on and not be successful in any of it. And so I did say no. And I think it's very hard for women to think about saying no. I think they worry that there's not going to be another opportunity, or if they say no, they're going to get passed over. But I think it served me well. First off, I was able to be there and navigate those difficult times we were having at home with the kids and their health issues. But number two, it also allowed me to really excel in what I was given. And I think it's really important not to take on more than you can handle. You need to excel at the task at hand. And if you do that, good people will always have opportunities. If you're in a company that's doing the right things and growing, there will be good opportunities for good people. And that was certainly the case for me.
Yeah, it's a really good reminder, Kai, that we can't do it all. Like we can do it all, but in different phases or stages of where we are, and that it is okay to say no. And you're absolutely right. For the right company, there will be opportunities for you. And if there isn't that empathy, there isn't that understanding when you're going through something like you did, it may be time to move on and look elsewhere. I know I, of course, struggle with taking on too much. It's a good reminder that you can't be everywhere all the time. You really have to focus and prioritize what makes the most sense for your family and your career and the company and those around you and who rely on you to be that leader.
And I do think there are certain things we're trying to implement too, because it is a challenge right now. I mean, working from home, it has grayed all the lines and it's tough to separate work and home. I think it's a real blessing. I see young parents who get to be home with their kids and they're not missing out on those milestones. I see people who are caregivers to elderly parents and, you know, they're able to be there and support them. But it is a tough, tough juggling act because those lines are blurred more than ever. And so we try and encourage folks, blackout breaks during the day. If you have to do a one-on-one and you want to go for a walk and have that person go for a walk, do it. I've tried to make a rule that I hope flows down to my people of no call Fridays, because I need that Friday just to not have to have the pressure of being on video and to be able to get caught up on my work. And I hope to set that example for other people. We had to start saying, hey, we're not going to email our folks between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. because they get the notifications. They feel like they have to be on. And so I do think there's things like that that we can do to create an environment that is more conducive for everybody.
Well, and to lead by example, it's one thing to say and put those practices in place, but it's another to do it. And people really need to see and believe and trust that the executive team is following that. So kudos to you all for banding together and leading by example, because that's so important. And it really does follow through and create a culture of trust, which leads to retention. I was just on a webinar and someone said, you know, we're so focused on the great resignation, we really need to think about the great retention and yeah, make sure that we focus on keeping everyone in-house happy and healthy and wanting to come into the office or wanting to perform wherever that may be and bring their best self to work, but knowing that they have that permission to take that time and do what it is that they need to do to be successful everywhere they are.
I totally agree. You know, again, we're still remote and we have grown 30%, like I said, year over year in our tech business. And I think it's really forced us to measure not activity, but results. And people have shown that they can be highly productive. So I think in this new environment, what we're trying to do at K-Force is give people a choice. So as we start to go back to what we call office occasional next year, we still want to give them the choice. What's best for them? What's best for their family? And look at the results, not the hours they're putting in, not all that noise that we used to measure in office. What is the result that they're getting to? And what is the way for them to structure their life so that it works best for them? And we've seen how well our people can do. We want to continue to support them and give them those choices in their career.
Yeah, I agree. And they'll thank you so much for that. And when you do want them to come in, they'll be much more likely to come in, even if it's a hybrid model or for a special meeting, because you gave them that opportunity to work their best, you know, life in what they're doing with the way that you set that up. So that's great. It's amazing what we've learned, right, Kai? I grew up in
yes,
a really, really strict environment and staffing. And to your point, if you measure based on results, it's so important to see if it's working, it'll show in the results. All right. Well, the pandemic has brought positive, equitable change to the forefront. The past 2 years have shown a bright spotlight on racial and social injustice. None of us have all the answers, especially during troubling times. And yet, as Eleanor Roosevelt once said, the way to begin is to begin. So let's start there. You mentioned Don before, we cannot expect to make change alone. One of your very first champions and now lifelong mentors is a man, Don Harvey. How can we mobilize more men to be our allies? What have you seen work well?
You know, we talked earlier about one of the tough times in my career when we were suffering through the dot-com implosion, but I think one of the other times has been this last year in 2020 when we were dealing with the racial injustice and all the feelings coming up around George Floyd and Breonna and all the others. It really was a difficult time in my career and many people's career. And I remember one night I called Don Harvey, Letitia Murray, who works for us, a dear friend of mine had called me and she was so upset over what was going on. And I called Don and I said, Don, we have to do something. And so Don and I ended up doing a roadshow virtually the next 2 weeks. We did over 50 calls with all of my markets in small groups, some larger groups, and they were an hour long each. And we gave people a platform to talk about how they were feeling. We gave people a platform to let them know what was on our heart. We gave people a platform to be angry. There were people, a lot of people who were angry. And it was one of the most difficult 2 week periods of my life. I mean, I remember many nights just crying because it was so emotional. But, you know, I think that's leadership. And Don really, you know, it wasn't that we had to, but he was arm in arm with me, listening to our people, talking to our people about what they need, having one-off conversations about, you know, different things that were going on and things they were dealing with and how this was impacting their lives and their families. And that's really, I think, was a big turning point. It was a difficult time in my career, but it was also a turning point because, you know, again, we have a obligation to pay it forward and to help others and to do things for them. But this was different. And, you know, it evolved to Don taking on that SVP role of DEI for our firm. And I can't think of anyone better. And I remember having a conversation with Don around that, too. And I said, Don, because Don's, you know, older than me, I don't know if he'll ever retire, but he's getting to that age. And I said, what a legacy you can leave if you take this on as your next role and you leave us in a much better, different place than even it was 17 years ago when he and I started down this journey with K-Force together. And that was really a pivotal point for us. And I hope that we are going to change the numbers and what people see reflected, and that what we reflect in K-Force will be an environment where any background, any people of color, anything can thrive and do their best and be authentic at K-Force.
Well, you certainly didn't just take one step, you took many steps. And I really applaud you, one, for taking the time to show the importance to the company with all of the calls and meetings and outreach that you did. That really speaks volumes to your commitment, but then also putting Don in the position and the role. And again, I know firsthand working with you and just seeing all of the actions and steps that you're taking on that front, internally and externally, even with the organizations you are partnering with. Again, it goes back to that diversity theater comment. You're not just acting, you're really doing and putting forward really your best foot on this dance. And I think it's something that as an industry, when we look at companies to watch and take a look at what they're doing, certainly there's a lot we can learn from what you, Don, and K-Force are doing. So thank you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Kai, one of the things I've heard from you in the past is about not taking your foot off the gas. So you believe in offering that flexibility to your staff and that you have to adjust priorities at different points in your life, as we talked about earlier when you were having family and adjusting your career at that point. I know your team fairly well, like I mentioned before, and I've heard from women on your team who said you are an incredibly empathetic leader when it comes to women in the workforce, and that sometimes your career is more like a jungle gym than a vertical ladder, so to speak. Surely sometimes we need to slow down, but never to take your foot off the gas. Would you mind elaborating a little bit for us on what you mean by that?
First, I'll start with the jungle gym analogy. Historically, people looked at their career as, here's the career ladder and I'm just going to move straight up. And if I'm not moving up, then I'm failing or I'm not going to be here. They just looked at it very vertically. In today's day and age, I do think it's a jungle gym. You may have to go move over sometimes. You may have to go down to, and then go back up. You know, there's all different ways to get to the top. And I think people expect folks to be more well-rounded than they used to. So you may take an assignment over here and pivot to the left and then pivot to the right before you go back up again. And so I just think people need to really be open to different opportunities of what they can do to broaden their skills, to broaden their perspective, and to build relationships. Because at the end of the day, too, a lot of business is about relationships. So how do you continue to build those relationships? In terms of taking your foot off the gas, I do believe, again, it's kind of like I was talking about when I was having issues when my kids were young with their health and, you know, was very much needed at home too. And you've got to know what you can do and what you can do well. And you accelerate on that. In our business, it's all about relationships. It's all about follow through. It's all about integrity and trust and creating value for consultants and clients. You've got to be willing at certain times to say, I've done everything I can here. I've got my hands full. Maybe you're in sales and this is your client. And you have to say, for the greater good, I'm going to give these other clients to this new person starting or this other person who just took a dip in their business because I have all I can handle right now with this account that's taking off. And then you push that gas pedal to the floor. You do everything you can to provide exceptional service, to make a mark, to make an impact. And it may be that you're on a more narrow street, you know, or road, but then eventually things will change and you open up and you can go even faster. Or you can take that right-hand turn or that left-hand turn, but whatever you do, do it with excellence. If that means you've got to talk to a manager and say, I can't handle this part right now, then you do it. If that means you're in a place where you can take on more, you do it. I always believed in asking for the tough assignments too. And I love when people come to me and say, I see a problem over here and I'd like to be the one that goes and fixes it. You know, to me, have at it, go fast. You know, I'd love to see you go address that problem and really encourage people to look around them and what they can improve on, what they can help with, what they can innovate on, and raise their hand. You know, as the great Sheryl Sandberg, I love Lean In, it's one of my favorite books, says, you know, take that seat at the table, pull a chair up, raise your hand, ask for the hard assignments, ask for feedback, you know, ask to take the next thing on when those points come that you can do so. And make sure while you're doing it, you're grooming your backfill. So when that time does come up to you, you've got somebody ready that you can bring up with you.
Succession planning, it's so critical in our industry, which we'll talk about here in a second. I couldn't agree more with you on that front and just putting yourself out there and having the confidence to be your own best career champion, and it'll just help you versus waiting for someone to take that action on your behalf and getting frustrated and seeing other people kind of going faster where it may appear like their foot is really on the gas, but you've got to be your own best career champion first and foremost.
I think in this remote environment too, that's more important than ever. Women have to advocate for themselves because, you know, when we were in the office, it was harder to be ignored. You were right there. I know even for me, when I moved down to Tampa, it was so I would be right there with the executives, seeing them day in and day out. And now we're not, we're home. And so I think for women, they have to be even more deliberate in pushing those interactions, making sure their voice is heard, making sure they're asking for those responsibilities or showing ways to improve. You have to have a louder voice right now as a woman in this remote environment. You have to be able to speak up for yourself and talk to your managers, talk to your leaders, innovate, give ideas, because otherwise it is easy to get passed by when we're not in front of each other anymore.
Yeah, there was a term I heard the other day. I was on a panel about making remote work work, and it was called location bias, where if you're in a leadership position and you're making decisions on behalf of your company, just naturally to your point, if people are with you and around you and day to day, you may be more likely to rise those people up versus those who maybe are in a remote location. So to really think about when you're making changes and promotions and rising people up, just anything really to make sure you don't have a location bias for those who maybe choose to work in a different way.
Right.
When I think of you and K-Force, Kai, one word that comes to mind is philanthropy, quickly followed by community and family. And by family, I mean the way you are internally with each other. And then obviously the time you give to your external families, it all kind of works together as one. Give us a glimpse of the K-Force culture and why giving back is so deeply embedded into your culture.
Well, I think it really starts at the top with Dave Dunkel, our CEO. From my first meeting with Dave, Dave used to always say a verse that we've probably all heard, to whom much is given, much is expected. And, you know, we've been really blessed at K-Force. We've got incredible clients. We've got incredible employees. We've got incredible consultants. We've been given so much. And so much is expected. We need to give back to the community. So when I got down here, I was very involved. I got very involved with the American Heart Association, for example. It's obvious, it's near and dear to my heart, no pun intended, with the kids growing up with congenital heart defects. But it was amazing to see K-Force come around and support us in that area. I did some videos. I highlighted other moms who were dealing with kids who had heart issues, and we really just built awareness and also empathy for what people may be dealing with at home that you don't see day to day. And as a result, K-Force really rallied. I chaired the Heart Walk last year in 2020, which was tough. It was the first time they'd ever had to do a virtual walk versus an in-person walk. And K-Force raised $300,000 for that. And it's not even one of our firm-sponsored charities. I mean, that was the people gathering together and giving from their heart to heart. And then obviously one of the things we do is find jobs for people. And so we were exposed to an organization called Best Buddies. I hadn't heard of it till I came down here to Florida, but we got quickly engaged with that because one of the things they're looking to do, one of their pillars is to find employment and jobs for people with intellectual development disabilities. And again, as K-Force finding people jobs, how fabulous is that? And we've got a lead from the front in it. So that has become one of our corporate sponsored charities. I mean, we have just made family with these folks. I actually, right before we jumped on, my daughter was involved in the gala this year, and I just got some pictures from somebody of her and her best buddy in it. And it just brought tears to my eyes because it's so wonderful to see K-Force be able to make an impact in that community. We've hired someone for Best Buddies. We're helping them find employment for other folks. We're working on an internship for another one in the spring. And it's just, you know, again, we've been given so much. It's wonderful to give back. Talk can be cheap. You can say you love your people. You can say you're like family. But I think when you talk to people, as you said, Leslie, people do feel that way. And again, I think it's being transparent. We don't try and make this perfect image of any of us. We're real people with real flaws, with real hopes, with real dreams. And I just went through with one of my teams today what the North Star is for us and how our vision is really to make people's dreams happen. And when you do that, and you become invested and ingrained in your team and in their dreams, and you know their people and you invite them. You know, it's not just corporate picnics, it's family picnics. It really does become a family, and we celebrate with each other and we serve with each other. We have our day of giving, our month of giving this year coming up, where we will serve together with these different organizations and have fun together doing it. And I just think it's something really special about K-Force and something I'm so proud of. I do love our people and I love their heart to serve each other, to serve others outside our firm. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, there's a statement called diversity theater, which basically is you are not really living, you know, walking the talk, so to speak. So maybe you change your logo during Pride Month or, you know, do a couple of things, but on the inside, you're not really taking that action. You're not investing in companies, hiring from those companies, offering your employees an opportunity to partner with those companies and organizations. And it shows. It actually leads to losing trust in your employees when you don't do that, because it feels like you're acting, so to speak. And that's something that was why I brought it up, because I knew so much for your company that is just not the case. And it's literally like it's deeply embedded into your DNA, and it really shows.
Thank you.
So our industry, Kai, we touched on this a little bit earlier. It's plagued by a lack of representation and diversity in the C-suite, nearly 50-50 male-female ratio in entry-level roles, dropping to 21% female and 4% women of color in the C-suite. We talked a little bit about succession planning, but what advice do you have for the industry or companies to improve their succession strategies or fix the gap? And maybe you can share a little bit about what Kforce is doing on that front.
Kforce, like most companies, still has a long way to go in it, but we are being deliberate. We are trying to be more inclusive. I think that for us, having me there in leadership, I feel a real obligation to help women, minorities come through the ranks. And I think we have to be very deliberate in that. You mentioned earlier that you will tend to include people that are in proximity to you. And I think that happens a lot in business. You may not be posting that this job is going to come open. You may already have in your mind who should do it. And a lot of times it's the person that looks just like you. And if we really want to change those numbers, we have to be deliberate in our succession planning, in our inclusivity, and some of the things that we're looking to do to promote that. We're getting ready to kick off listening sessions next year, which will really give us an opportunity to listen to different groups within Kforce about what do we need to do to be more inclusive, or what do we need to do to help see more success in those ranks. For example, we have a Black community exchange. We talk to them a lot about what can we be doing better at Kforce to be more inclusive of the Black community or the Latinx community. We look at those things and we take action on them. I challenge my leaders all the time that if you have a role you're looking to fill, I want you to interview for it. I'd love you to interview a person of color, a woman, you know, include that, because we have to be deliberate to get that to change, not just at Kforce, but there's a lot of work to do in corporate America around that. You have to look at it. You have to take action. Otherwise, what are you saying? Like, there's no woman that can do this job. There's no Black professional that can do this job. But, you know, you have to make a conscious decision and effort that you're going to get after it. I think all of us have an obligation to do that. I do think there's some great organizations out there now getting after it. You know, I've been really impressed with what Gender Fair does. I've been really impressed with Edie Fraser and her WBC group and things like that, where they are spotlighting and pushing to make a difference in our industry, but out there as a whole too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually part of ED's workforce planning for the staffing industry, and it's really charged up. We're trying to make change. We have to all come together to do those little things that really add up to make a big difference and not wait for, I believe the last stats from World Economic Forum were 136 years before we reach equality. It's wrong. And you're right. I mean, we're working on it ourselves too. It's a topic I'm very passionate about. Obviously, host this podcast and co-founded a Women in Tech group and all of these different organizations that I'm part of. But I also look in-house at our own company and know that there are always things that we can work on to do to improve. And we have to do that. We have to look inside first and then make those changes. It's the only way it's going to work. And you're right, it's everyone needs to do that. All right. So Kai, we're just about done with our podcast here. I feel like I could keep this conversation going forever, but I'm going to ask you a few what I call rapid fire questions, but it really isn't fair because they're pretty deep questions. I guess they just force you to kind of really think about what stands out the most on those topics. So if you're ready, I'm going to dive right in.
All right.
Okay. So Kai, what was a turning point that changed your life forever?
It really was meeting my husband. And my husband is just a fabulous person. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about their husband, but I truly believe mine is. And he really pushed me, not just personally, but professionally too. When I would come home from work and complain about something I didn't like, he would say, you need to be the one to get in there and fix that. You have an obligation. If you see something, go say something about it. Come up with a solution of how to address it. And he has really been one of my biggest advocates, as well as just gives great advice, pushes me to be better. And I couldn't have done what I've done in my career without his partnership at home. So I have to say my wonderful husband, Scott, has changed my life forever.
Aw, that's incredible. Finding a good partner is not easy. So having one.
It's everything.
Yes, exactly. We need that support. What's the best piece of advice you ever received?
You know, one of the things that I share with moms or even dads is when we were going through the sale of Vista, again, I had my daughter, I was going through the whole selling process while I was pregnant. I had my daughter in August and we had a letter of intent from K-Force and then the deal was done in February. And that year was just such an incredibly tough year for me because transitioning a company to a public company and trying to integrate all that and make my employees not feel it was very difficult. And I was working some crazy hours and, you know, even had a health crisis in there. And a dear, dear friend of mine sat me down one day and said, Kai, there is only one job that nobody can replace. If God forbid something happens to you, Scott can find a new wife. If something happens to you, K-Force will backfill you tomorrow. But the one job that can't be replaced is mom to your kids. And it really like is still just sticks with me to this day that that is the only job that nobody else can do but me. And so I just felt like it's been in the back of my mind. My daughter's going to be graduating high school this year. Throughout her whole life and my son's life that I want to achieve. I want to move up in my career. I'm very aggressive. I like to take on challenges, but at the end of the day, that's the only job that nobody else can do. And I need to make sure that I'm making that priority.
I've never really heard someone put it that way, Kai. Thank you for sharing that. And you're absolutely right. No one else can replace us as moms.
Right.
Oh, goodness. Okay. One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
Some people at K-Force may know, but if I really wanted to, I could have a secret life as a Disney mom blogger. I am a Disney nut. If anybody's going to Disney, I can tell you where to go. I can tell you what to do. I can plan the whole thing out. I could blog about the best places and all the tricks and tips. And so I think that would be, if I ever got bored and needed a hobby someday, I could be a Disney mom blogger.
Well, I think there's a staffing group here in the making. I know Kelly Boykin, Anna Frazetto, a couple of others who are right there with you. You all could start a side hustle on this. And I may lean on you, my five-year-old. We have yet to take him to Disney, mainly because of COVID getting in the way of that. And our plan will be to go. He's obsessed with Halloween. So
yes. Hopefully
next Halloween, it'll be a little safer to visit and he'll be of the perfect age to go. So that's good to know about you. I'll be able to lean on you a little bit. Well, thank
you.
Yes. Kai, thank you so much for just sharing your story and such great advice. You've given us a lot to think about. If someone listening to the podcast would like to connect with you, what is your preferred method of outreach?
I'm out there on LinkedIn. So I think that's the best way to get a hold of me. If anybody would like any other thoughts or advice or just to connect.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Kai.
Thank you, Leslie. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.